At that point, we're used to hearing a little bit of rustling, but it's pretty quiet in here this morning. Our county, starting today, is on lockdown. And this is just, I think, a reminder for us as we turn to God's Word this morning that we can face it with honesty that there is brokenness in this world. The creation itself is groaning and waiting for the revealing of the sons of God, the return of Christ. The world is broken and the things of this world will not last. So we have to turn to a hope that is stable and unshakable. And that is only found in Christ. This morning, our text will be the last three verses of the book of Philippians. It says, "Greet every saint in Christ Jesus." Gordon just read this. "The brothers who are with me greet you. All the saints greet you, especially those of Caesar's household. The grace of the Lord Jesus Christ be with your spirit." Now, as we look at these, there are some great instructions and help for us in these verses as believers in this time. There's a lot in the news lately about the Spanish influenza or the flu of 1918. Growing up in my hometown, I would hear about this every once in a while, and the reason was that at that time in Waynesboro, Pennsylvania, there was not a hospital in a significant sized town at that time. Almost 10,000 people lived within the urban setting, and then there were just as many in the suburbs of Waynesboro. But there was no hospital. And when the flu hit in 1918, too many people did not have the care that they needed at that time. And in fact, between Waynesboro and the place that you might be familiar with called Camp David, there was a little village, and every single person in that village died. And so what they did in Waynesboro at that time was they started a drive to build a hospital for Waynesboro, which they raised the money for, and then they opened it. It was commissioned in 1922. Two of my grandparents lived through that, and they remembered that as from their childhood. So I think that that is something that's in the mind of a lot of people with this, because this is also considered what that was, and that is called a world pandemic. Here's the question that we can think about. What does it look like to obey Christ in the midst of a world pandemic? What should we think? How should we act? You've probably heard about that same pandemic. It's been in the news a good bit lately. It was about 102 to 101 years ago. There was a war happening, and that war and the efforts for the war helped actually spread that virus around the world. In Philadelphia, there was a parade that happened on September 28, 1918. 200,000 people about were present, and the people that were in charge of organizing the event ignored the advice of some medical experts. And so what happened was, within 72 hours, the virus had spread to so many people that the hospitals in the whole Philadelphia area were overwhelmed. They didn't have enough hospital beds. Things got really bad to the point where they couldn't keep track even of all the people that were dying. So they had to even do things such as burials with mass graves. One, in fact, was discovered in this area up in a town called Schuylkill Haven. That's northwest of Philadelphia. 5 years ago, they discovered it. Those things are extreme reminders of the fact that we are in a broken world, and these things can happen. And we should look at this and, I think, seriously listen to the medical advice. In contrast to what happened in Philadelphia, there was out in San Francisco a strong and quick reaction where the schools were closed and people were given face masks and even forcefully made to wear the face masks if they were in public. And so from a cultural perspective, I think that what's happening now and the quick reaction to this has to do with the unknowns of the virus. And I'm not an expert, but I think that guessing from what happened about 101 years ago, we are responding the way we are because of the different effects that that had back then. Now, as believers, we know that God is in control of all things. He has our days completely numbered. Not a sparrow can fall to the ground without him knowing about it. He knows every hair on our heads, which for some of us it's easier to count. And Very few people here, but got a chuckle. We see in the book of Acts that there are a couple of things that happen at the same time. There is human responsibility and there's divine sovereignty. There was a storm that came about, and the apostle Paul was on this ship, and he said, an angel from God told me that no one's life will be lost. And then the next thing that he says, whenever a few of the sailors are trying to cut the ropes on some little boats to get out of there, he says to a centurion, if they're allowed to go, then we'll die. Now there's human responsibility that's happening, and what God said would happen. And certainly that was what happened. So how did these fit together? Well, they have to work together. There has to be compatible things happening at the same time. So back to our big question. For us as Christians, how should we live in a time like this? How should we go about responding and talking and living in a time like this? I want us to consider this morning from our last verses in Philippians. Now, we should think big picture about our lives as Christians all the time. And there are certain things that we can get back to and remember that God has said and God has told us. For example, what does he want from us? Well, something that we are clear about is the greatest commandments, the first and then the second. The first commandment, Jesus said to a scribe that came up to him and asked him one time, the first and most important is this. Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God, the Lord is one. You shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, and with all your mind, and with all your strength. And the second is like it. You shall love your neighbor as yourself. There is no other commandment greater than these. So we know that that doesn't change. So, for example, punching someone for a roll of toilet paper, not what God wants you to do. Okay? What specifically does this look like, to love our neighbor in an age of COVID-19 or coronavirus? Well, I read an article yesterday by a trauma and critical care surgeon named Catherine Butler. She's an MD from the Columbia University College of Physicians and Surgeons. She wrote an article, and in that she was saying, you know, how should Christians respond with all of this that's happening? The responses are different, and there are, you know, political leveraging, and people are accusing others of things, and there's fighting, and in the culture, there's a lot of tension. There's a lot of tension. And so she writes this, even churches face strife in this highly charged atmosphere, as pastors who continue services withstand accusations of social irresponsibility, while those who cancel, they have to weather outcries about a lack of faith. So here's what I want us to do. Remembering this big picture and remembering that we all have a limited perspective, but God's is perfect. Let's stick to the things that are plain and clear and we know. And let's trust that God has a plan with all of these. And as we seek to make sense of it and watch as things unfold, let's make sure we love each other and make room for differences of perspectives on this. As believers, we have to do that all the time, and we have to come together in that way. Now, as we look at our passage, I want us to look at this under three headings. First, we see greetings of love, and then gospel advances, and thirdly, grace as we go. Verses 21 and 22 of this closing of the book of Philippians, the Apostle Paul is talking to some people that are far away from him. He loves them. They are a part of the same family, the same nation. They're brothers and sisters in Christ. They're in Philippi. He's in Rome. There's a church in Philippi. There's a church forming and growing in Rome as well. And he says this, it's a command. The first thing he says is, I want you to greet every saint in Christ Jesus. And then next, he says this three times about this greeting. He says there's a greeting from Paul's ministry team to them who were there. He says, the brothers who were with me greet you. Thirdly, he says this is from the whole church that's here in Rome. He says, all the saints greet you. Now, this is an expression of love and of kindness. I got a laugh out of this because literally, A way to translate this word means to enfold in the arms. So it means a nice warm hug. And I laughed about that because we're in a time of social distancing. We are told to stay at least 6 feet from other people. And this is what the word is saying. We should be greeting one another. And I don't think that what God wants us to do here is literally disobey the social distancing recommendation. I think that what God is saying here is that we need to show love and kindness to one another. I mean, Paul is sending a nice warm hug from Rome to Macedonia. And so we can do that even through this live feed and even from an air high five in the sanctuary. These final words have a tone of benevolent kindness. Of, I remember when my parents would drop me off for university each semester. They couldn't help pay for the school. They couldn't help pay for rent or my car insurance or any of that. But they wanted to help. So what they would do is they would help me move in each semester, and they would take me to the grocery store and buy me some groceries. And I felt like, all right, I have a pantry and some food in the fridge, and it's a good start. And what they wanted to do was they wanted to bless me. They wanted to show me in a practical way that they loved me. My wife's parents, whenever she would go away or go to school or on a trip, she would get hugs from them by the vehicle before she would drive away. And her dad would always slip in some money into her pocket. And it would be a hug with slipping some money in. That's what is happening here in the scriptures. And that's what we are called to do as believers, to show each other some practical love, to show each other that we are committed to one another in a way that we want to bless and help one another along. So that's what this word means, this greeting. It's every saint in Christ Jesus. That's the object of our greeting. And we are also the ones who give this greeting. Okay? Here's the thing. There must be genuine unity in Christ. The passage right before the scripture that was read this morning addresses two women that were not getting along, Euodia and Syntyche. The idea that we're told in this passage at the end here also enforces what was said there, that we have to find agreement in Christ. We shouldn't get into these bickering divisions in the church. We should make it an effort to love one another and to find agreement in Christ. What does that look like for us now? Now that we're on lockdown, Montgomery County was locked down so that only essential things like getting groceries and going to the doctor were the businesses that were open. Now, Chester County is in that condition, and Delaware County starting today, and Bucks. So all this greater Philadelphia area is, we're supposed to be isolated. We're supposed to be locked down. So how do we greet the saints? How do we keep loving one another? Notice in these two verses, the three things that are mentioned are the saints, the brothers, and then the saints. There's a priority for loving one another as believers. In this time, what I understand of this is that if you are of the age 60 or higher and you get this virus, then the mortality rate is 15%. If you are 80 or more, it jumps to 22% mortality rate. And so if you have a chronic illness, the death rates also dramatically increase. That's something that I think we should take seriously. And because of that, and because in our church, which is sort of empty right now, and you can see it on the video, we can think about ways, and I don't know exactly what this looks like yet, but we can think about ways to love those that are in these categories. We have transplant recipients. We have people that are facing different medical challenges that have conditions that make them more vulnerable. And we have people that are in these age brackets. We can strive to serve those who are in our church family by those who are young and healthy, thinking of things like taking groceries or just giving a phone call and saying, hey, I know that we're on this lockdown. Do you need anything from the grocery store? I'm going to go. I can drop it off. That way they don't have to be exposed to all the other people. And after we bring a grocery bag to them, they can wash their hands and put things away and then wash their hands again. And we can try to protect them in that way. We don't know how long this will last. So we have to think in terms of what opportunity we have. This is a priority God has for us, to greet the saints, to continue loving one another. Now, we can love our neighborhoods, and we should do that. We should do what we can as believers to stand apart. That's part of the meaning of this word saints. This is identifying a group of people, but the title itself means the people that are set apart. And so just like in earlier in the book, we are told that we are to stand apart, that we are to, back in chapter 1, he says, let your manner of life be worthy of the gospel of Christ, of equal weight, so that whether I come and see you or I'm absent from the body, I hear that you are standing firm in one spirit, striving side by side for the faith of the gospel. As believers, this is always our calling. It's to show our allegiance and our loyalty and our uniquely being set apart for Christ and for the sake of the gospel. Our lives are telling that all the time. Okay? So we are to greet the saints. We're to be set apart in this national emergency. We are to do the same and continue with that. And we can choose to serve, and we can lay down our desires to love in Christ's name. So I guess we have to say it this way. Don't get into a fight over toilet paper. I think we can trust God to provide such things. And we can laugh about it. You know that Rocky meme where Rocky is bloody and he did it. It's the end of Rocky 2 and he says, yo, Adrian, I did it. But the meme says, yo, Adrian, I got the last one. Okay, we can laugh with that. That's funny. It's also sad. It's sad that we've come to this point. And that gets us to the second heading here. So we have greetings of love. That's a priority for the church. Second, we have gospel advances. Gospel advances. Notice at the end of verse 22, he says, especially those of Caesar's household. What is he saying here? He's saying there's greetings from people that are believers. And he notes, as he did before, that the gospel is reaching and bringing in to faith in Christ people from Caesar's household. This is an amazing thing. Now, I think this was earlier on when this happened, this imprisonment. But later on, a church historian noted that there was even Nero's wife was a believer in Christ. So we have an early document that says that. But lots of the people who are of Caesar's guard were becoming believers. Here's how we can think about this. The gospel needs to continue to advance. Paul is in prison. He's locked down, literally. And the gospel is going out from him. And so people who were intending to stop the spread of the gospel, look what's happening. Now, I'm not saying that anyone had anything against churches today, but look at what's happening today. There are hundreds, probably thousands of churches that are now broadcasting the gospel being preached from little churches like Windsor and Clifton Park up in New York and lots of churches all over the country. This is an amazing thing that we can pray that God will use us to advance the gospel, and we can look for unique opportunities to advance the gospel. Paul was in prison in Rome, chained to Caesar's guard. And what did he do? He shared the good news. He told people, look, there's hope in a Savior that is beyond anything that can be shaken in this world. He doesn't know if he's going to live or if he's going to die. So he can say to the Philippians, to live is Christ. And if I die, that's gain. And so we can have the same mindset. We can have the same faith as believers. He did share the gospel. And back in chapter 1, verses 12 and 13, he says, listen, I want you Philippians to know what has happened to me has really served to advance the gospel, because it has become known throughout the whole Imperial Guard that my imprisonment is for Christ. We can live with that priority. We can make sure the gospel advances. Friends, nothing has changed in the priorities that God has for his kingdom. God is not shaken by this. These things will happen. I mean, if we take the scriptures very literally, there will be plagues, there will be wars and rumors of wars. There will be things that are happening in this world that shake us up. Most people in this world that refuse to turn to Christ will find hope in something. They will make money their strong tower. They will make a family or their good health a strong tower, the place where they find comfort and hope. Those things can be shaken. In recent years, about 20 years ago, we had Y2K, and then just after that, we had 9/11. And those things created this stress, this panic in the world. Believers are to be set apart, and we are to continue with what Christ has called us to do. That is to advance the gospel, to live for Him, and to hold out the hope that the Lord is a strong tower. The righteous run into it, and they are safe. Well, Jesus said that when He was talking on the... when His disciples asked Him, what are the things that are going to happen as time goes on? And how will we know that certain things that will happen are going to happen? And they're talking about the end. And He says, listen, many false prophets will arise and lead many astray. And because lawlessness will be increased, the love of many will grow cold. That sounds like videos that I'm seeing of Walmart. But the one who endures to the end will be saved. And this gospel of the kingdom will be proclaimed throughout the whole world as a testimony to all nations. And then the end will come. So Paul can say in Philippians, to the Philippians, let your manner of life be worthy of the gospel of Christ. Paul's writing this from prison. They went through persecutions, wave after wave, in that early church. In that first century, we are in a time that is unsettled. We're in a time where our culture and our world is experiencing something that's unique for most of our lifetimes. Whole countries are shut down. This is different. What has changed in terms of our perspective on what Christ wants us to do? Nothing. How we do it, that's unique. What He wants us to do, still the same. Keep advancing the gospel. Keep loving your neighbor. Keep your eyes on Christ and His word. Look for new evangelistic opportunities. You might be able to share this video. You might be able to talk with your neighbors from a safe 6 feet distance when you're walking the dog or when you're across the fence. Find ways to advance the gospel. I had a friend back when Y2K was about to happen, and he was gripped with panic. And he said to me, I've shared this before, he said, listen, if you're in your house and an angry mob comes up to your door and they demand food, what are you going to do? And I said, I think if I have food, I'm going to share it. Now, I'm not saying you shouldn't defend the lives of your family members or anything like that. That's fine. But this going to these extremes of reaction out of fear, out of anxiety, out of panic, that must not be what we do. As Christians, we need to find the stability that is in Christ, in the Lord. Though the mountains totter and shake, the earth trembles, the Lord causes these things to happen. With Him there is peace. With Him there is always stability and security. The things of this world are being shaken, and they will be. And they won't last. We can look at that honestly. And we can say, it will happen one way or another. When Christ comes, all of this creation will be done. He'll roll it up like a garment and He'll toss it. But what is unshakable is in Christ and with Him. And that is available for us now. So we turn lastly to this. And I want to apply this in two ways. First, as an appeal to trust Christ. For anyone who is hearing this and doesn't know the gospel, there is hope beyond the coronavirus. There is hope beyond the reaction of a crazy culture. There is stability in Him. Our last verse in this book of Philippians is chapter 4, verse 23. He says, Paul says to these Philippians, the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ be with your spirit. This is very basically the supply of what we need most deeply. This is us receiving in our spirit, in the inner person, in who we are, the deepest part of who we are, grace from the Lord Jesus. The grace of the Lord Jesus. This is what we need first and always. This is what we need before we need food in the kitchen. This is the supply of what we need most deeply. And through this book of Philippians, what we see is these Philippians are pointing to Christ, the resources that are abundant in Him and available to us to help us think rightly, to help us align with one another, to help us learn how to become more like Him, to have everything that we need to become what we ought to be, to have peace and to have contentment. It's all in Him. It's all from Him. So we see in the first couple verses, Paul opens up. He's talking to the saints, and he says he wants them to have grace and peace. Back in chapter 1, from God the Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. In chapter 1, verses 3 through 6, he says to them how he loves them, and he's happy about them, and he's praying for them. He says, I thank my God every time I remember you. In all my prayers for all of you, I always pray with joy because of your partnership, your laboring together in the gospel from the first day until now. And then he says this, I'm confident about this, that he who began a good work in you will carry it on to completion to the day of Christ Jesus. God is the one who began a good work in all of us who believe. And God is the one who will make sure it gets to the point of completion. That's amazing. That takes a big weight off of us. Now, we partner with him in that. So we see later in that chapter, we see it in chapter 2, that we are to continue to work out our salvation with fear and trembling. Why? Well, because, again, it's God's power. It is God who works in you, both to will and to work for his good pleasure. When he prays for the Philippians in chapter 1, he says, my prayer is that you will be filled with the fruit, that's something that grows out of righteousness, that comes through knowing Christ Jesus, through Jesus Christ. What God does is he works inside of us, in our spirit, in the deepest part of who we are, and it comes out. God puts a new spirit within us. He puts his life in us. And we have a new heart. We have a new way of thinking. His word and his spirit work together as we constantly are being fed by it, and he's changing us. And as we are learning to obey and walk with him, we're filled with the fruit of righteousness that comes through Jesus Christ. That prayer is that the Philippians would be knowing, growing, and showing God's work in them from the inside out. And it's through Jesus Christ. That's the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ. And it's for us as believers. In chapter 2, he begins by talking about that great Christ hymn or that song. He says, if there is any encouragement in Christ. Look at the way that these things are things that minister to our spirit. If there is any encouragement in Christ, any comfort from love, any participation in the Spirit, any affection and sympathy. And he's saying this is the way that God has ministered to you if you're a believer. And then he says, if any of that is there, then have the same mindset, have the same love, have one mind. Have the mindset in you which is also in Christ Jesus. And then he just says, I want you to have the mindset of Christ. And then he just focuses us again on Christ. Look at what Christ did. He's in the very form of God. That means he is God. And he didn't consider equality with God a thing to be grasped, a thing to be held onto. But he took it off. And he humbled himself to the point of death as a servant, as a slave, even to the point of death on a cross. And therefore, God has highly exalted him and given him the name that is above every name, that at the name of Jesus, every knee should bow and every tongue should confess that Jesus Christ is Lord to the glory of God the Father. He says, have the same mindset. The beginning of this is what? It's what God has already done. It's his working in us. That motivates us to become like Christ, even as we focus our minds on him. Not on ourselves, not on his law for us to achieve, but on him who accomplished that law and who says, I want you to become like me. So, even in chapter 3, Paul says about his own righteousness. He says, I count everything as loss because of the surpassing worth of knowing Christ Jesus, my Lord. He says, in order that I may gain Christ and be found in him, not having a righteousness of my own that comes from the law, but that which comes through faith in Christ Jesus, a righteousness from God that depends on faith, that I may know him and the power of his resurrection and share in his sufferings, here, friends, is what I want to do. I want us to see the gospel clearly this morning. And I want anyone who watches this to understand, how do you become a Christian? Well, it's here in Philippians 3. It's here throughout the book of Philippians. It's turning from hoping in anything else to have favor with God, to see Christ Jesus and to trust in Him. It's by repenting of our sins, and it's finding the satisfaction, the payment for those sins, in Him who died on the cross. And that's what it is. It's very simple and it's very basic. How do you turn to Christ Jesus in faith? Well, you look at what you understand what is written about Him in the Scriptures. You don't have to understand all the Scriptures. Even just from this text, you can turn to trust Him with what will happen with your life. You can turn from trusting in having enough money, with protecting yourself from some kind of an apocalyptic scare. You can turn from all of that and you can say, Lord Jesus, I know that You died on the cross because the Bible says so. I know that the Bible says that this is to make payment to pay for my sin. And I ask You to accept me into Your kingdom, into Your family. I want to be one of these saints, one of these set apart ones. I want to put my hope in You, and I want to trust You for everything in this life and the life that is to come. And everyone who turns and calls on the name of the Lord will be saved. That's a promise that we have from God's Word. Now, as believers, this grace as we go is for us. This is for us today. This is for us every day. This day, Sunday, the Lord's Day, is a day when we should set aside other things. Watch the news less, or maybe not at all. And we have grace as we go, because we set this day aside to worship. We should worship every day, but this day especially. We looked in recent passages about the peace of God that surpasses all understanding, that it comes from God. And it's something where we can turn away from anxiety to have this peace, this wholeness, instead of this being torn apart experience. And this wholeness, this biblical peace that we can have, is to be ours, that can guard our minds. It will guard our minds and it will guard our hearts in Christ Jesus. In the last passage, Paul said that he learned the secret of contentment in any and every situation. What a great passage, Philippians 4, 12 and 13. He knew how to be brought low and he knew how to abound. In any and every circumstance, he had learned the secret of facing plenty and hunger, abundance and need. How? Here's the secret. It came out in verse 13. The secret of learning contentment was this, that in Christ Jesus, he was empowered to go through all of those situations faithful to Christ with contentment, because he is everything that we need. We need him more than we need food. We need him more than we need life in these physical bodies. So our passage shows us that even from a distance, even on a video, we see that in this time, what God wants from us is clear. Greetings of love, gospel advances, and grace as we go.